Hey everybody, welcome to the Geek Pantheon, your place for all your geeky goodness, favorite fandoms, and nerdy narcissisms. I am Eric, and I want to talk to you all about the hottest topic in Hollywood right now, the Marvel and DC film universes. Obligatory spoiler alert for all Marvel and DC films that have been released. We're currently at the nexus of these two universes, with Justice League having just come out a couple of weeks ago and the trailer for the latest Avengers film dropping. And it's been pretty interesting to see these two cinematic universes play out up to this point because, well, Marvel's been dominating the competition. That isn't an outrageous fanboy claim. That is simply a fact. If we look at the critical and commercial success of the two franchises, it's like the Cleveland Cavaliers taking on your little brother's JV team.
Sports reference.
Looking at the stark difference between the two franchises does raise some interesting questions, though, because, well, frankly, the DC films aren't terrible, despite what Rotten Tomatoes will tell you. Are they flawed and could use a stronger narrative structure? Sure, but the same could be said of the Marvel films. But at the end of the day, when you watch the DC films in the theater,
are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Because I am. My least favorite DC film thus far has been Suicide Squad, and I still have to admit that in the moment when I was watching it, I had a pretty good time. But when I'm sitting down in the theater with my Coke and nachos, popcorn is for chumps, before a Marvel movie starts, I am more than just excited for another blockbuster. I'm almost tense. I want to see what is going to happen to these characters and how the story will play out to the inevitable showdown with Thanos. I am invested in the MCU, whereas I'm just entertained by the DCEU. Probably the best way I can put it is this. When Superman died at the end of Dawn of Justice, I could acknowledge that what was happening was sad and that the heroes had won the day at a great cost. But on an emotional level, I did not feel anything compared to the perceived death of Loki at the end of Thor: The Dark World. That is a buck wild world to live in, where audiences are more affected by the death of a villain of the first Avengers movie than the death of Superman. But there has to be a reason for all this, right? Why is it that audiences connect so much more deeply with supporting characters like Falcon and War Machine than the iconic heroes of DC? Well, it's funny that you ask, because I'm pretty sure I have an answer for you, and that is identity. If we take a look at the big three of each universe, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman versus Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor, each of these characters represent a very similar archetype of the Boy Scout, the billionaire orphan, and, well, God.
Ray, when someone asks you if you're a god, you say, yes!
The DCEU thus far has largely treated these three heroes like, well, heroes. They are larger-than-life figures whose arcs revolve around being heroic. Conversely, the MCU views their big three as people.
Talk to her, she's a person.
Their desire to protect people is never questioned, but all of their stories are incredibly personal, focusing on individual arcs and relationships outside of who they are as a superhero. This is largely facilitated by the fact that very few characters in the MCU retain a secret identity. This allows the arcs of Steve Rogers, Tony Stark, and Thor to completely overlap with the arcs of Captain America, Iron Man, and, well, Thor. But if you look at the DCEU, the opposite is in fact true. The big three all retain their secret identities. This causes a certain level of separation between the audience and the characters because DC has made the artistic decision to focus on the heroic personas of these characters as opposed to the people behind the mask. We see Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman go through arcs, but they are all informed by their superhero identity. Superman is a beacon of hope that the world does not appreciate until he is gone. All the while, he is grappling with where his heroic actions can fit in the modern world. Batman is a symbol of justice, but a string of tragedies and general fatigue has gotten the better of him as he begins to go to extremes with the branding and willingness to kill Superman. And Wonder Woman carries her people's myopic nature of seeing the world as they believe it to be, rather than acknowledging the greater narrative around them, showing herself as a hero of a bygone era when the classics told tales of black and white morality. By the end of their arcs, culminating in the Justice League, we see Superman begin to accept his place on Earth as a leader and example to others, making those around him better. Batman has begun to open himself up again to other heroes and returns to the notion of justice, with his focus shifting back to protecting people instead of punishing those who do wrong. And Wonder Woman opens herself up to the idea of moving beyond her past and becoming an active member of society. But...
You know, my brother once told me that nothing someone says before the word but really counts. But...
The problem this causes is that audiences need more to connect with a character than how can I be a good hero? It is an inherently impersonal story that audiences can be entertained by, but very few will find strong emotional investment. This is how we reach a place of the death of Superman not carrying as much weight as Loki. I never once saw on the movie screen why it was a big deal that Superman was sacrificing himself. There was no moment of him acknowledging what he was about to do, or even if he knew that attacking Doomsday in this way would kill him. Contrast Superman flying through the air with the kryptonite spear against Tony Stark guiding the nuclear warhead through the portal in the Avengers. No one was breathing in the theater because of the tension as Tony tried to call Pepper in what he thought were his final moments. A man whose family fortune was built upon the construction and sale of military weaponry is now sacrificing his life to save countless citizens from the very thing that gave him the ability to be a hero. It's poetic, arresting, and earned. We never got that arc from Clark Kent of him acknowledging that his existence brought Zod to Earth, that his existence pushed Luther to a breaking point, that he literally caused all of this to happen. If we see this line of thinking and that he believes that taking himself out of the equation would bring peace and stability to the world, then that is a beautiful and tragic moment that would earn the emotions worthy of Superman's death. But instead, we focus on him as an agent of hope without diving into who he is as a person. But because we see Tony Stark as a person who strives to help people above all else, we care. He does not embody the ideal of helpfulness or selflessness. Far from it. We still see him as an arrogant, brash,
genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
But even his faults are informed by his desire to help. We see his arc culminate in Civil War when he has finally learned to let go of as much as his ego as he can, work with others, step back and provide resources for others, and develop a deep, meaningful friendship with Steve Rogers, and he takes a sledgehammer to it all because they aren't doing a good enough job at protecting people. Everything he does is to protect people, and because of that, he created Warmonger. He created Ultron. Most of Tony's demons have come from his desire to help others. Also, Thor is not treated like Asgardian ideals personified, nor is he the embodiment of old-school masculinity.
I'm a man! I'm 40!
He is portrayed as a son of a father with exceedingly high expectations, and a brother to a man that does everything in his power to make Thor not trust him. And we see Thor's arc continue all the way up to Thor Ragnarok. In the elevator when he says, "Loki, I thought the world of you," it is a beautiful, touching moment that is easily the highlight of the film for me. In this moment, we see two brothers that we have followed for the better part of a decade finally laying their cards on the table, immediately followed by Thor showing both the audience and Loki that he has learned that he can never fully trust his brother ever again. And once again, we care, because these are things that the audience members can relate to on a fundamental level. Unintended consequences of even the best of intentions in the case of Tony Stark, and the inner workings of a family in crisis in the case of Thor. But the big comparison that I think is worth exploring is the showdown of the Boy Scouts, Superman and Captain America, because these two characters lack a traditional arc. They don't change who they are fundamentally or learn some great lesson about why they were wrong in the end and needed to expand their minds. They are righteous crusaders for good that believe in truth and justice, and everyone else had better fall in line. We see Superman being heroic constantly throughout Man of Steel and Dawn of Justice. He never abuses his power, forgoes using his power for personal reasons, nor does he give people a reason to doubt that he will save them. His character flaw manifests in the form of self-doubt. He is unsure of his place in the world as a god among men. But we also see a destructive side of him. He rightfully destroys a guy's truck for being a grade-A jerk. But this potential flaw is never resolved as he destroys a government drone at the end of Man of Steel for following him. And it's not treated as a flaw, it's just treated as part of who he is. The two biggest sacrifices we see him make are obviously at the end of Dawn of Justice, but we already discussed that, and destroying the Kryptonians in Man of Steel. These are his people, his culture, and his world's future that he gives up to save Earth. But the only Kryptonians that Clark has ever met were antagonistic towards him and his family.
Your brother never told you never threaten a man's family?
He is a boy from Kansas, and the Kryptonians don't mean anything to him. It's not a sacrifice to give up the Kryptonian culture to save Earth, because Earth is his culture and his home. So his entire arc boils down to what his place is on Earth. But that's not resolved in Man of Steel, because it's the exact same arc we see in Dawn of Justice. The world is questioning Superman's role and whether or not he should be allowed to act, which is a brilliant take on what it would actually be like if Superman were to show up in the real world. It just doesn't create a very good narrative because it lacks any real insight into who Superman is as an individual. And I know what I'm about to say is very much Monday morning quarterbacking.
Sports reference.
And I'm acknowledging that I'm providing all of this with the benefit of hindsight, but they were so close to it. So close to creating a meaningful moment out of Superman's death. If instead you build a narrative around Superman becoming fed up with all the negativity the world is throwing at him, stepping away from it all until Luthor draws him out by kidnapping Martha, fighting Batman, and then seeing Doomsday beginning to destroy Metropolis, then you have a setup to make a choice to go back on his previous decision to let the world sort itself out. And also having a moment of recognition that what he is about to do with the Kryptonite spear is going to get him killed will give the audience reason to weep over the death of Superman. All of the story beats are present in Dawn of Justice. They just aren't executed in such a way as to elicit a strong emotional response from the average audience member. Now, in comparison, Steve Rogers is unwavering in both what it means to be a hero and where he fits in the world. We see him struggle with adapting to modern life a bit, but never with the fact that he belongs on the front lines holding back the enemy. And it's easy to think that because he is so steadfast in who he is, that he lacks any real growth.
Now please, grow for me.
But based on the audience feedback and his role in these films, we know that simply can't be true. And when you look closely enough, you can see that his arc is based around one very simple question. What are you willing to sacrifice to do what's right? Steve Rogers spends each film that he's in answering that question. In the first Avenger, we see Steve before his transformation, and he is someone willing to stand up to bullies. But we also see someone who longs for three things: love, duty, and family. Before the experiment to turn him into Captain America, we see that he has no luck in love as women give him the cold shoulder. He is constantly rejected by the military because of his health, and his family is made up of exactly one person, Bucky.
Who the hell is Bucky?
By the end of his first film, we see that after he transforms and is able to physically act on his desire to protect other people and stand up to tyrants, women have begun to take notice of him. A very random Natalie Dormer shows up to kiss him, and Peggy Carter falls in love with him. And before his love for Peggy can be realized, he gives it up without a second thought. People's lives are in danger, and Steve is willing to give up a future with the woman he loves, the ability to grow old with her, for strangers. In Winter Soldier, we see him fall back in line with S.H.I.E.L.D. as a Black Ops soldier. He continues to have a sense of duty, but S.H.I.E.L.D. ceases to live up to Steve's expectations in his iconic "This isn't freedom, this is fear" scene. And while the Hydra infiltration of S.H.I.E.L.D. is what caused Cap to go on the run, he makes the call to end S.H.I.E.L.D., to destroy the thing that gave him a purpose after he was woken up, to give up his duty. And once again, even in the face of Nick Fury, his superior, he doesn't give it a second thought. People will continue to die if S.H.I.E.L.D. stands, so it must fall. And in his third film, Civil War, we see Steve's family put into jeopardy because of Tony's arc. Tony doesn't believe the Avengers are capable of protecting people anymore, and realizes that regulation is necessary. Having been through everything he has in his life, Cap disagrees. He has seen S.H.I.E.L.D., the U.S. government, and even his only friend from his childhood, Bucky, be corrupted. It's not arrogance to say that Cap is the only incorruptible force in his life. From his point of view, it's the only truth. And so he says no. He turns his back on his family because of what's right, because of his unshakable belief that protecting people is best left up to him. And by the end of the film, we see that he is willing to give up even the thing that makes him a hero. Tony says the S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't belong to him, and he drops it, once again, without a second thought. Cap has shown time and time again that he will sacrifice everything to do what is right. Always.
Always.
Now, it would be easy to think that I'm just a Marvel fanboy looking for an excuse to dump on DC for a bit, but that's simply not true. I want to see DC succeed just as much as Marvel because I believe that you can create characters that audiences will empathize with out of Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne, and Diana Prince. But you have to focus on these characters as people. That's not to say structurally you even have to create your cinematic universe the same way Marvel has, by building up individual franchises until you reach the big team payoff. DC could have done the exact same lineup of films, Man of Steel, BVS, Suicide Squad, and Wonder Woman. But if the scope was narrowed down to the people behind the masks, then the audience would have bought in. If we show Clark making sacrifices to do what's right, Bruce making compromises to protect people, and Diana reconciling her distrust of the world in order to make it better, if we see these people struggling to save the world beyond the typical battles, then maybe Justice League could have had the emotional payoff it deserves. But as it stands, it was a great time at the movies. And if all we expect out of movies is to be entertaining, then they did a good job.
There are no two words in the English language more harmful than good job.
So what do you think? Do the DC films lack characters worth empathizing with, or am I full of it? Should DC be trying to emulate how Marvel handles their characters, or is doing something radically different the better way to go? Let me know. You can head on over to the Geek Pantheon Facebook group or thegeekpantheon.com to be part of the conversation. Please like, share, and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.